Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Olivia, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. It's such an honor to finally meet you. My daughter is obsessed with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I love to hear that your daughter follows my page and is a huge Swiftie. I feel like that's an instant bonding thing right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she's dragged me to, I want to say, 3 Eras Tour concerts. We did one in Pennsylvania, one in Florida, in like the Miami area. And then we went all the way to Spain to see her as well. So as an adult, it was funny. My first time, I was shocked at how many songs I knew. And I thought, oh, this is going to be dumb. Like, I don't really want to go to this. And I had the best time. And I've had a great time ever since. And the best part of it as a mother is watching your daughter at all stages of her life, of her ages, going to these concerts and seeing the absolute joy, the tears, like what those songs mean to these kids and adults is so, you know, it's, I can't even give it words, because that to me was what, you know, what the takeaway was of how important and how moving and how, you know, this is ingrained in these kids, you know, and it was just a really special time I had with my daughter. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, I have to ask, how did she become a Swiftie if you weren't a massive Swiftie?
I don't know. I guess, listen, I don't listen to her music, right? So I don't know. Like right now she's really into The Weeknd and I might know one song from The Weeknd. So okay. You just never know what kids are listening to. And obviously as a young girl, she became a fan. Listen, I love the old Taylor Swift stuff because those songs resonate. Like I get it, like Bad Blood and all those. And that song Mean, like those are written from a place where you feel like in high school, that's how you're treated. And you know, those words and they mean something. Right. And then the evolution of Taylor is that her music has changed and it's gotten different. But Wyatt is my daughter's name is such a loyal Swiftie that like when the Dead Poets Society, Tortured Poets Society came out. And, you know, she was up till midnight and she was waiting for the drop and she was on the phone with all her friends and they were screaming. And, you know, it's interesting because she's followed the songs and loved and been a loyal fan. Even if I was like, wait a minute, that's like so many songs. I don't get them. They're not upbeat. Like, and she's like, no, mom, you don't get it. And she, you know, she's loved everyone. And now listen, we listen to it in the car ride on the way home. She's getting a little older. So, you know, her music you know, whatever, the breadth of her, you know, what she likes is a lot different, but I think she will always be a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a testament to the Taylor Swift community, because she probably found, you know, my page, our online community, and got more ingrained into the fandom. And then it's this whole other world that it's either you get it or you don't.
Yeah, it is a whole nother world. So before we get into it, because as people know from my intro, you have, is it three pages you have now? Swifties for Eternity is your big one, right?
I have Swifties for Eternity on Instagram. I have Olivia Levin, which is my personal Instagram. Those are my two main ones. And then, you know, I do the TikTok thing, but Instagram is my jam.
Got it. Okay. So I want to know how you got into this. So how did you become a Taylor Swift fan? Because I'm assuming before you started this whole platform that you started out as a fan, correct?
Yeah, of course. So I was probably, I always listened to her music when I was like 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. But I was more so into like sports at that time. That was really my passion. And then as I got older, I was like 13 years old, I started listening to more and more of Taylor's lyrics and paying more attention. And that's when I started to become like a full on Swiftie. And there was a switch that flipped. And I was like, you know what? I know Taylor's interacting with fans online. I'm going to create a Tumblr account. I don't know if you're super familiar with the Tumblr world, but that was a huge thing. It was a huge thing when I was young, probably from like early 2000s to 2017. That was like a big thing. Okay. And so that's where I started my account initially. And Taylor eventually followed me on there. And around the same time, I started my account on Instagram. So I would post on both, but Taylor would interact with the fandom on Tumblr. And that's where she would consistently like my posts or reply or reblog, which is basically like reposting something and saying something. And so I think that probably when I was 14 years old is when everything changed. And I was like, you know what? I'm so passionate about this that I want to have an outlet for it. I want to post about it and I want to connect with other people who get it. So that's probably right. When everything changed. When I was a senior in high school, that's when Taylor messaged me on Instagram. And I
what did she say?
She went on my Instagram and then she voted on a poll that I had on my story, which said, will the Reputation is one of her albums, live up to the previous eras? And she voted yes. And then there was a picture of me, like a selfie on my story. And she swiped up and sent me a smiley face. That's it. No words, just a smiley face.
So wait, when you logged on and you saw this, did you just about die?
Oh yeah, I freaked out, but I didn't know what it meant. I was just like, okay, she's interacting with me. She liked a few of my posts that day too, but I really didn't know what it meant until a few days later, Taylor Nation, which is her team, reached out to me on Tumblr and they sent me a message, a confidential message at the time.
And what did they say?
They said, hey, Olivia, we would love to gather like more of your info. Can you give us your birthday, where you live and your phone number and email? And so I did. And that's when I started to think, OK, something's up, because there were rumors circulating in the Tumblr fandom about secret sessions. I don't know if you've heard of those, but she used to do.
No, wait, tell me everything.
Yeah, it's crazy. So she used to invite fans over to her five homes, and it would be like a small group, anywhere from like 30 to 50, I would say. For the 1989 album, it was supposed to be 89 fans. And so she did it for three albums, and it was 3 to 4 weeks before she would come out with the album. She would invite these fans to her home, and no one had their phones, and she would play the entire upcoming album that wasn't out yet.
Up until that moment, like, had you never heard any of these songs? You didn't know it was going to be on it?
It was for Reputation. And we get there, we pull into, okay, keep in mind, they give us a location. I got a phone call from the team and they were like, hey, Taylor saw how big of a fan you are. She would love to invite you to a special private event on Thursday. Can you come? And wait, I was like, yeah. Wait,
tell me where you were. Were you at the grocery store and you just fell over? What happened?
I was at my house. I was at my house and I was waiting for a call because I sent them my contact information, right? So I'm like, okay, they hopefully will contact me. And yeah, so I was just at home and my mom and dad were in the kitchen and I got off the phone and I was like, oh my God, like, I think we're going to Taylor's house. I had a feeling. And yeah, fast forward 5 days, my mom and I get our hair and makeup done. We drive to Rhode Island. They gave us a location. They still didn't tell us what it was for.
A location meaning a state, like, or what?
They gave us an address to meet at in Rhode Island.
Okay.
Because Taylor has a house in Watch Hill, Rhode Island.
Got it.
And we meet in this parking lot. And
so wait, you flew there?
No, I'm from Connecticut. So I'm an hour and a half drive from there. And we drive to this kind of deserted parking lot because it's, you know, late October. No one really is at the beach. It's like an empty town at this point.
And they were inviting your parents too, or just you?
Just, I got a plus one because I was under the age of 18. So I brought my mom.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah.
Yep. And we pull into this empty parking lot and there's just like two vans and then like a table that they set up and Taylor's team and then a small group of fans. And they take our phones. We get in the van and we drive up to Taylor's house.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So what was her house like? I mean, I heard rumors that she's like getting married there or not in the house, but you know, in that area.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, rumors are swirling about that. The house was incredible. And because I'm from Connecticut, I grew up going to that beach town. So okay. I would always like be on the beach and I'd be like, oh my God, that's Taylor's house. And then it was crazy because we go up to the kitchen area and then we're on the balcony and I was looking down at the beach and I'm like, oh my God, I'm usually down there. So the perspective just like switched. It was crazy. And her whole family was there, her dad, her brother, her mom. So
wait. So how do you decide what to wear to Taylor's house? Like I get anxiety about what to wear to the Eras tour.
Yeah. Well, I knew because the Reputation album era was darker. I was like, okay. I'm going black. I'm wearing black and black shoes, black dress. And I was 17, so I didn't have the best sense of my fashion style yet, but you know, you can't go wrong with a black dress and black shoes. And like, I think I wore these fishnet socks. I don't know what I was doing, but that's not in the picture. I don't think so.
Oh my God, I love it.
But
did
yeah.
Did you have all your bracelets on?
So friendship bracelets became more of a thing later on.
Later on. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So you walk in, you're there with your mom. Are you making friends with the other kids there or you're there?
No. Yeah. I was really nervous. They had food set up and I was like, I can't eat. I'm so nervous. I think I took a bite of like a chicken nugget to be like, okay, I could tell people I ate in Taylor Swift's house. Like I had dinner there, you know?
Right.
But no, we went out on the balcony and that's where Scott Swift, her dad, was. So we all hung out on the balcony. We were talking to him. And then her mom came into the kitchen and her brother came into the kitchen. Taylor still was nowhere to be found. Okay. And so
people were in this room with you, do you think?
Gosh, probably like 30 to 40, if I had to guess.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we end up like an hour later going into the living room where there was a chair set up and then a bunch of pillows on the ground. And so we're all sitting on pillows and waiting for Taylor to come down because she was still like probably getting ready in her bedroom.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we all started singing. I think the song was Fearless that we were all singing. And in the middle of the song, Taylor comes running down and she's like, hey guys. And she sits in the chair. Everyone's freaking out. I like saw my life flash before my eyes. I'm like this 17-year-old small town Connecticut girl. I never thought I would meet a celebrity, you know, especially at that time. Like I idolized her when I was young, you know,
yeah.
And so it was a surreal experience. And then she just, I love that she always introduces herself. She was like, hi guys, I'm Taylor. Like, even though obviously we all know, but it's nice. It's nice that she still does that. Cause it's like a normal human thing, you know?
And was everybody crying?
People were crying. People were screaming. It was just collective chaos.
And then she did her whole album for you guys.
Yep. She went song by song, playing the Reputation album, explaining. And this is, she had been in hiding for over a year, because this was after, I don't know if you know about this, but her 2016 cancellation, where the Kim Kardashian, Kanye West stuff happened. Yeah. And the world collectively decided, we don't like Taylor Swift anymore. And so she had been in hiding for over a year. No one really knew what she was up to. We didn't even know, honestly, if she was going to come back to music. Because it was a bad time. It was a bad time for her. It was a bad time for the Swifties too. It was hard to be a fan and defend her all the time. So she played the whole album and kind of told us what she had been up to and the process of writing the album and went song by song. It was incredible.
What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages, eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily, for 30 days, with precise dosing. I'm actually doing it myself right now. I started with the lymph cleanse, then I'm doing the Parify. Want to dive deep? I did a full interview with Kim Rogers, the worm queen herself, where we expose all the myths, understand the facts, and show how to protect your body. Listen to that episode if you haven't already. Meanwhile, go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's R-A-C-H-E-L for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, rogershood.com, and use the code Rachel for 10% off. If you've ever been through a divorce or you're in one right now, you already know it's not just emotional, it's chaotic. It's paperwork, deadlines, financial disclosures, custody schedules, legal filings, and half the time you don't even know what you're supposed to be tracking until it's too late. That's why I want to tell you about Splitify. It's an AI-powered divorce operating system designed to turn divorce from drama into data while saving you time and money. Splitify helps you organize all of your documents, evidence, custody details, communication, finances, everything into one secure platform. It can even help flag high conflict behavior, track custody schedules, map assets and debts, and generate court-ready files so you're not walking into a legal battle completely unprepared. Whether you're working with an attorney, going through a mediation, or doing it on your own, Splitify helps you stay organized, informed, and strategic, because divorce is expensive enough without wasting time and money on confusion. So if you want to protect yourself, protect your kids, and walk into this process with clarity and control, go to mysplitify.com. Use the code Rachel for 50% off your first 3 months. That's mysplitify, mysplitify.com, promo code Rachel.
What was your favorite song?
So my favorite song was probably, and Endgame was the first song on the album that we heard. And it was, I loved that there was Ed Sheeran in it and Future. That one, I would say, was probably my favorite at the time. But Don't Blame Me was also, I think that's my favorite song on the album. So those two were probably the ones that stood out to me the most, but all of them, because I had never heard them, I was freaking out.
Got it. So do you get some personal time with her on this trip?
Yeah. Yep. So after that, we all went into a separate room where there was a piano, and she came into the room and sang a song for us on the piano. We were all gathered around the piano and we all kind of sang together. It was really cute. We sang All Too Well.
Wow.
And then after that, we kind of each had our one-on-one time with her. So my mom and we were probably like halfway in the group. 30 minutes later, we got called in to hang out with Taylor in the living room and take photos. And we were probably with her for like 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah. That's amazing. You can stay a lot in that time. So did you tell her about your platform, and did she, interact with you about that?
Yeah, I told her about my account, and obviously she knew about it because she followed it. Mm-hmm. And when I was 15, I went to Nashville to one of her 1989 concerts, and I dressed up in this extravagant costume because that's another big thing at Taylor's tours. And so I brought that up to her, and she was like, I remember that. And she was like, thank you so much for doing that. Like, you've been such a supportive fan, all that. And then it was just, we talked about, I don't know, I think I asked her what perfume she was wearing because it smelled really good. And she was like, oh, it's the Tom Ford tobacco vanilla one. And my mom was telling her how it's so great that Taylor's learned to kind of separate her private life from the public eye, and that she should keep doing it because the media and the public, they don't deserve her. And Taylor was like, I know, like, you're right. So
who was she dating at that time? Do you remember?
She had just begun dating, I think a year earlier, Joe Alwyn.
Okay. Got it.
It became like her six and a half year relationship.
If I had a one-on-one with her, my big question would be, what is that lipstick that you wear that always stays on no matter what you're doing?
Yeah, I know she wears the Pat McGrath one a lot. Yeah, that's one of them. And she must use some sort of like lip stain for it to stay on that long, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I would love to officially like meet her again, and because my conversation with her, I think, would be very different now than when I was 17.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. And from a different perspective, funny because if my daughter ran into her, she would just fall over and she wouldn't be able to talk. Like, that's what's funny about it. So thank God you met her when you were a little more mature.
Yeah, that's definitely, I still was internally like blacking out a little bit. And I don't think that would happen now. I think now I'm almost 26 years old. I could have a normal conversation with her and not be like, oh my God, and freaking out. So I would love to meet her again at some point, tell her about my book if she hasn't heard about it already, and just like talk about life. You know, there's a lot to say.
Do you think you'll get to the point where you can get a hold of her team to ask if she could write something towards your book, like whether part, you know, like on the back of the book or whatever?
Yeah. You know, I had thought about it during my writing process. I was like, of course it would be epic for her to write the prologue for the book, because this is a book for the fandom that she created. But my end goal is really for her to just read it, and hopefully her mom, her family, hopefully they'll read it too. But I don't really want to ask her for anything. I'm like, if she's so gracious and generous with her time, and I think that if she ever wanted to, she could just reach out and be like, hey, I loved your book. I would love to, I don't know, do something for it, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of want to leave that up to her if she ever gets it in her hands.
You mentioned her brother. I've always been curious, what's the story with her brother? Like, does he have a job? Yeah. Like, what happened to him?
So they're actually like a family business. He works for Taylor, and he handles all of her movie and TV licensing of her music.
Oh, okay. So smart guy. He's not just like,
oh, very smart guy. I think he started out in acting. He was trying to become an actor, and then he just kind of morphed into working for Taylor. And yeah, they're really like a family business. I know her mom's with her all the time. She says her mom is like her full-time therapist. And her dad, you know, he has a background in stocks and investing in money. So I'm assuming he probably handles the financial stuff.
Right. And did you get to meet her cats?
I didn't officially meet her cats. I know they came down at some point, but I think it was after I had left. Someone actually asked her, like, bring the cats down. And because some people have allergies, she didn't want to come down
until. Thoughtful.
It is smart. Yeah.
So, all right. So how old are you now?
I'm 25.
And have you made, like, is this your full-time job? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So I get asked that all the time. I started this account with no goal in mind to ever make a dime from it. It was just pure passion.
Right.
And I ran it throughout high school, throughout college.
And it was just to support the Swifties and talk about Taylor, right?
I think it's so fun to have a community. Just like, you know, a lot of guys have their sports communities online. All they do is talk about football and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's cool. Well, I have my own version of it. So I always thought it was fun connecting with people around the world. And I met a lot of fans through that too, like in person. I would fly to certain places and go to concerts with people I'd never met. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was like a summer camp. It was crazy. So then after college, I graduated in 2022. And I moved to Nashville because I had done an internship here. And I was like, you know what? I love the city. Let me go there.
Internship and what kind of?
I did a PR internship.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do after college. So I came here and then I started working for a book publishing company, ironically. This small one based in Oregon, but I was remote and I hated it. Honestly, I hated it. I hated having a 9-to-5. I hated what I was doing. I wasn't being treated very well at the company. It was just all around. I was miserable. I was like, I don't feel fulfilled. And there was one day where my mom was visiting me. This was like April 2023. And I was like, Mom, I can't do this anymore. I hate my job. I wake up every day and I love every other aspect of my life, but I hate my job and it's most of my days. So I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, well, you've been there for like 4 or 5 months. Try to stick it out another 6 months because it looks better when it's on your resume. You've been somewhere for a year and you're not bouncing around jobs. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, the next day I get on a call with my boss and they're like, Olivia, I hate to do this, but we need to do budget cuts and we're cutting your position. And I was okay. I guess that was, I asked for it in a way, you know, and it happened. Yeah. And then there was a point where I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? This was towards the beginning of the Eras Tour. So May 2023, I see Taylor in concert. I hit 40,000 followers on my Swifties for Eternity account. So it hadn't grown that much yet. And that summer, everything just changed. Everything started to, my account started to grow super, super fast. I was in LA and I met my now brand partnerships agent who was like, hey, Olivia, I love your account. I would love to represent you and get you brand deals. And I'm like, you think you can do that on my technically fan page, even though there was a face to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's try it. I mean, there's no harm in trying. And it worked. And I was making more money than I ever did in corporate. So I was like, oh my God, I don't need to find a job.
That's amazing.
And then I started helping people get concert tickets at face value to the Eras Tour. So that
explain how you do that because I'd like to know.
Yeah. So for a while I was just, people would message me and say, hey, Olivia, I have extra tickets to the Eras Tour I can't make it anymore. I would love another fan to get these at the price that I paid or like slightly more, but not a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so I would post them. I would kind of be the intermediary and make sure everything went well, the sale between the buyers and the sellers. And it got to a point where I started a Google form to verify all the tickets. And there were hundreds and hundreds of submissions all the time. And I was spending full, like entire days doing this. And I was like, I would love to keep helping people, but I can't do it for free. So I started partnering with a subscription platform where I would post the tickets on there. And then if one wanted an opportunity to get those tickets, they had to subscribe. And that kind of just allowed me to make that part of my job, part of my job in 2024. And that's also when the book deal came along.
Wow. Okay. So, and by the way, I mean, for people that have been listening to this and still don't know, like you have to go on her account. She really has the cutest stuff on there. And her book, the way this book looks, the illustrations.
Yes.
Yeah. Show me.
This is the book.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
This is it. This is the galley copy. So it's going to be cloth. And then this is all going to be gold foil. There's gold wax seal. I don't know if it's on this copy. No, it's not. And then there's going to be like vintage sprayed edges right here. And then, yes, I revealed, as you saw, one of the illustrations, which.
So is it every chapter will have an illustration?
Every chapter has a couple illustrations. Okay. So there's probably like a total of, I don't know, around 30.
How did you find this illustrator? I mean, like what you're putting together, at least the way it looks, right, is so Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And that, I mean, obviously that's the goal. I wanted it to look super timeless and vintage, but also have a little bit of like fairy tale aspect to it because all of her songs, they are that fairy tale that we grow up with, you know, thinking in our minds. And I think she allows us to keep that part of us intact, even as we get older. But the way I found the illustrator, just like I found connected with every other Swiftie in the community, it was just, she paints these amazing jackets, like jean jackets. She illustrates these paintings on the back of jackets. And I was like, she's so talented. And so I reached out and I was like, hey, I think you're so talented. I would love to work with you on my book. I don't know if you have any experience doing book illustrations, but would you be open to it? And she was like, I've never done book illustrations, but I'm confident I can. So let's do it. And we spent months and months going back and forth. And I was like, can you change this little tiny detail? Like, Swifties are so detail oriented. I want everything to have a meaning.
And there's always like a message within the message or whatever. So that's very cool. And that photo was so cool. You could spend a lot of time just looking at all the little details, which I love.
Yes, for sure. And it has every single era till, you know, the life of a showgirl, that which is included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the book, it's a memoir of you as a fan, or what is it?
It's a little bit of a mix. So there's chapter one is kind of about me and my story and how I built what I built and how it turned into what it turned into. And then the rest of the book is really the fandom story. And some of it is from, I mean, most of it is from my perspective and I lived through all of it. So it is from my perspective, but yeah, it just tells, it tells about the Tumblr times. So the time, you know, newer Swifties might not know that we used to hang out with Taylor on Tumblr every day, but that was a core part of our fandom and flying to shows and meeting friends and the Taylor Swift impact, the Swiftie impact, the way we make everything sell out the second she walks out in an outfit. It just, it has it all. The relationships between mothers and daughters and fathers and daughters and the music and why it speaks to us so loudly and more so than any other artist. So it's our entire story.
Why do you think she speaks to the Swifties more than any other artist seems to do?
I think, well, number one, she writes her own songs, which, you know, not all artists do. I know some artists in Nashville who don't write their songs and everyone's like, oh my God, that's such a sweet song. I'm like, well, you didn't write it. So,
right. By the way, and the songs that I've now found out that she's written for others that are so good, like her lyrics are phenomenal.
They're unmatched. I truly, like, I know I'm biased, but I do think she is the lyricist of this century. Mm-hmm. I think she's a poet before she is a singer. And I think her vulnerability. I think, you know, she writes things that don't always make her seem perfect. And that's what people relate to. They're like, okay, I've also had those thoughts that maybe aren't right, but I've had them, you know, Guilty as Sin. It's one of my all time favorite songs from the Tortured Poets Department. It's about being in a relationship, but you're thinking about being with someone else because you feel trapped in your current relationship. And she humanizes all of these feelings. And I think she just validates us in every single thought we've ever had about relationships, about friendships, about life. It's like, it's okay to not lose that, you know, that innocence you have when you're young and you have that fantasy in your mind, that fairy tales are a thing and all that stuff. And you're told as you get older, grow out of it, time to snap out of it. That's not life. Well, I think it can be. And I think she kind of makes life a little bit more magical for all of us, even as adults.
Right. So talking about relationships, in the last couple of years, she's lived and, you know, in front of our eyes, this kind of out of a storybook love story, right? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been phenomenal. The fact that Travis is out there playing football, wins, you know, and I mean, to see that play out must have been scary for her, but also at the same time, what an amazing story all the way to now them getting engaged. So as a Swiftie and someone who's followed her, he seems a lot different than the other guys she's dated. What are your thoughts on Travis?
Yeah. I mean, he's my favorite of all of them. I think they are a perfect match and, you know, they're opposites in a lot of ways, which I think is good. Opposites attract, right? Yeah. And I think she needed someone who understands her world, but isn't fully in the same world. So, you know, she had dated singers and actors before. That part of entertainment sports is wildly different.
Yeah.
So I love that he understands what it's like to be in a stadium and perform for people. And right. She talked about this in her Eras Tour documentary too. In the podcast that she went on, when she went on Travis's podcast, they have very similar jobs, but in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And so they relate to each other. And I think he handles the attention so well, like, truly better than anyone she's ever dated, who I think made her feel bad and guilty for that kind of attention to their relationship. But he's okay with it. He understands that that's what it comes with. And I think they found a perfect balance of like what they show the world and what they keep private.
The other one seemed so dark and broody and like always had an attitude or something. I don't know. They seem boring to me. Right. And they weren't so outward about their affection and their emotion and their pride for her. And it almost seemed like they felt like she upstaged them, or she did, whatever. Yeah. And he has his own fans and he has his own tribe of people. And he's a man's man, by the way. He's not like some pussy that needs to be like, okay, stop getting all this attention, all these little girls running around. I don't care. Like, he loves it. He seems like he really loves it.
I think that can be an issue with a lot of men. If a woman is way more successful than them, they can have issues with it. And it's like an ego thing. And they probably hated being known as Taylor Swift's boyfriend rather than their own person with their own big amount of fans. So like you said, he has his own fan base. He's a killer success on his own. And he has his own name and his own brand. I think that's what makes them so perfect. It's like, he doesn't mind being referred to as Taylor Swift's boyfriend or fiance. He loves it. And I'm sure she would love it too. It's just, they encourage each other and they love each other so loudly. She has always been one to love loudly, and she never got it reciprocated. And with him, he loves her loudly. He appreciates her loudly. And the Swifties love him because of it. We've never seen anyone like him before.
Yeah. So if something were to go awry, would you guys all like kill him? I mean, what is it like to be part of the Swiftie tribe and go after someone?
There are parts of the community that are, you know, very radical, and anyone who, okay, this is the thing. If they were to ever break up, obviously we're all going to be here for Taylor. Like that's who we're.
We know the side you're picking. Yes.
Yeah. But there are some people who would take things too far and have in the past and go after people that either, you know, don't deserve it. Also, I'm not a big believer in social media bullying. I don't think it does anything. And I think you're just adding to the negativity of the world. So I don't participate. Would some Swifties go after him or anyone that does Taylor wrong? Absolutely. The thing is, we never know the full story until we hear the songs.
Right. So are you guys not fans of Kanye or Kim Kardashian?
No.
Got it. For the most part, that's
for the most part. No, I mean, I don't follow them. I don't know what they're up to or anything. I don't care enough to know.
Got it.
But like Taylor says, thank you, Amy, you know, Kim Kardashian, everything that happened is what led her to where she is at now. And it's like, you can't hate the life journey.
Right. Exactly. All right. So let's talk about for a second what's going on. Oh, wait, by the way, talking about relationships, do you have a boyfriend?
I don't have a boyfriend.
If you get one, does he have to be like a massive Taylor Swift fan?
No. I need him to respect her and appreciate that she's talented. I don't need him to be like blasting Taylor all the time. That can be my job, you know? And I would love, I don't need a copy paste version of myself either. I have lots of other interests than Taylor, contrary to popular belief.
Oh, like what?
I'm a big music girl. So I love Fleetwood Mac.
Oh.
Yeah, love Fleetwood Mac. But I grew up on like the 70s, the 80s.
Yeah.
I love music in general. My other interests outside of music, entrepreneurship. I'm a big businesswoman. And I love sports. I love going out and playing sports. I love traveling. I travel all the time. So I love to see the world. Yeah.
I love that. Cause you come from a position where you're a fan, but you're like borderline journalist, you know, with a fan, with now having a business account that you run. So you have some, you know, it's different than just being a fan and you just put anything out there. You have to have some sort of conscious effort about what you put out and why you put it out. And it's now a business.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the title of your podcast being misunderstood. I mean, I've definitely felt misunderstood in that way where I just, people are like, oh, you're just a crazy fan. Like, right. No, I'm a fan. I'm passionate, but I do a lot of other things too. And I'm an entrepreneur, and that's not easy to be as a woman nowadays, you know?
100%. I'm really proud of what you've done. I think you're amazing. Okay, so let's get to this for a second. I know you don't really want to talk about it, but we have to for a second. So right now, the biggest non-music story touching Taylor Swift involves the ongoing legal dispute between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni related to that movie, It Ends With Us. By the way, did you see it?
I did, and I might be the only one to say this, but I kind of liked it.
Okay, no, I liked it. I saw it before any of that controversy came out.
Okay, same. And I liked it when I saw it, and a lot of my friends were like, oh, it was terrible. I'm like, oh, I liked it. I don't know.
The only thing that stuck out to me after I saw it, I was like, why did Blake, who dressed her? I thought her outfit choices were totally bizarre. I thought the two guys in it were extremely good looking. I was like, who are these people? I'd never heard of them before.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I knew it was about domestic violence, but they didn't. You know, you sort of don't know how to feel about it because you kind of like him and then you don't like him. And then, I don't know, it was complicated, but I liked it. Okay.
Yeah.
So then, as people should know, unless they're living under a rock, now there have been all these accusations and sexual harassment claims. And here we are, fast forward to now, and Taylor Swift's name has been implicated and there have been text messages that have been released. So yeah. I guess my first question is basically, from what you're seeing inside the Swiftie spaces, how are fans reacting to Taylor's private text messages being made public?
Yeah, actually a lot of fans, all the ones I've seen and also kind of me, when I read those, first of all, it felt so invasive to be able to read those. Like, I can't imagine how she feels. And it's hard not to read them when it's all you see in the headlines. And I kind of, you know, we all wanted to form our own opinions.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's like, okay, she's a girl's girl. Like, she was just supporting her friend. If anything, it made her look better. And she called a man a bitch. Like, have you ever called a man a bitch? Because I definitely have.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So I'm like, all the comments I saw, I did post something about it. And all the comments were like, gosh, if my texts ever get leaked, they're way worse than that.
That is true. That puts it into perspective that I think a lot of people that are commenting the opposite way are like, oh my God, this is so terrible. You know, how could she have this Swiftie community follow her? And it's kind of like, listen, if we all looked at everyone's text messages when you're supporting a friend or angry at someone, you'll see similar texts, if not worse. Right. So,
yeah.
So you don't think it's changing the way people feel about her?
I think the outside world that aren't in the Swiftie community, I think it's actually made some of them appreciate her more and be like, wait, why am I actually starting to like Taylor Swift? I saw some TikToks of that. Of course, you know, the media tries to get the headlines and the first chance they get, they love to try and cancel her. It's never going to work again, in my opinion. They did it in 2016. I think the world has collectively decided Taylor Swift is a good person. Nothing you guys try and twist is going to make us hate her. But there's those people that will take it and run with it and be like, yeah, she took down a man's career, blah, 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 blah. When number one, I haven't been like super following the case, so I don't know all the details. I don't think he's in the right. Not that she is either. Blake is either. But I think whatever your friend is telling you, if you're just being supportive, of course you're going to support whatever they're telling you is happening, regardless of if it's factual information or not.
So have you been following the Blake and Justin saga? Like, do you have, I mean, it sounds like you think they're kind of both in the wrong, but do you think that the text messages coming out about her are terrible? Like, I've been to the concerts I went to, she was actually at all of them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, wow. And then you know more than me, she has some songs that are named around Blake and Ryan's children, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like the godmother or something. I mean, she's very... you know, much part of their family and them hers. So, you know, I just wonder, like, we all thought she was just this big Swiftie and that she was amazing and fun and her kids were, you know, light and happy and this, and then you see what's going on behind the scenes and there was some really damaging video. Did you see that video of her, like the woman interviewing her and the woman was like, oh, congratulations on your bump. And she's like, you know, she was rude to the woman the rest of the time. I mean, it makes her look really bad. And again, it's totally separate from Taylor, but she is Taylor's best friend. So do you have thoughts on that?
I did see some of those videos last year when they were circulating. Yeah, I mean, some of them you can't say they were taken out of context because it's like, okay. Then again, some people are like, well, people have bad days and they're just kind of not the nicest if they're going through something, like, sure. So I don't know. I haven't been following the case in detail. I don't really care enough to read all the documents and the text stuff. I kind of just think he's definitely in the wrong. And I don't really know about Blake. I don't know enough about what happened. Like you said, I always liked her before all of this. I don't really think her and Taylor are friends anymore. I don't really pay attention much.
It does seem, especially in the last day or in the last 24 hours, I've seen the headlines and I don't know where they're getting the information, but that Taylor's really pissed about being dragged into this and does not want to be a part of it.
Of course, she's gone through enough in the media and been dragged into enough drama that I can't imagine she was thrilled when she got pulled into this lawsuit and they were like, Taylor Swift might get deposed and now she has to release all this like evidence and text messages. I would be pissed. I'd be like, why did you pull me into this and involve me in this shit? So I mean, I'm sure there's so much behind the scenes that we don't know what happened, but
especially coming off such a huge year for her, you know, it just seems like, I don't know. It's like not great. Right,
no, it's not.
Yeah. I would be mad too. All right, let's talk about the Eras Tour and the Eras Tour movie. It's no longer just a concert. It's like a phenomenon and it keeps going and going. Yeah. And I believe it's out on Disney now and all sorts of stuff. Like what are your thoughts on that and how long it's going to last?
I loved the documentary. Did you watch the doc?
I did. Yeah. I did.
Did your daughter love it?
Obsessed. I think she's seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah. So I thought the docuseries was great. I think they could make 100 more episodes of that because there are still so many questions, but like, obviously we can't get it all answered. I think that probably was the magnum opus of her touring career. Yeah. I do think she's going to go on tour again at some point, but I think how do you beat the Eras Tour? True.
I know. And would you want to attempt to do that? Because then people will always compare it. I mean, I feel like she could keep coming out with music. She could do tours, you know, maybe, or just like where she does a tour that has all of her stuff as opposed to like just her next album. But I would think that eventually she's going to be in baby mode. And not that that makes her have to stop, but
maybe take a break. But I've thought, why doesn't she do a year-long residency somewhere? So she gets to be home with her family all the time, doesn't have to travel and be away from them and go through everything that comes with that. I think it's, you don't have to rebuild the stage. It's just, I think that would be perfect. I know everyone's like, well, people do that when they're old and it's like a, I don't know, it's all the old people who do, old artists.
Well, yeah, I mean, Britney Spears did it in Vegas. I mean, it's also when people say that you need money or something and she maybe could care less because her and her future husband have a ton of money, but it's also doing what you love to do. If that's what she loves. I never understood when Britney stopped touring, but then we found out she had, you know, some mental issues, but you know, I would think this is what she loves. She will always love to do it, whether or not she has children or starts a cat sanctuary or whatever. Yes. She will want to always perform or be connected to her music.
Agreed. And her fans. I think, I mean, you can tell how happy she is when she's performing. So, and that's, you know, part of the travel schedule makes her exhausted. But if she did a residency, I think one thing we've all learned is that Swifties will travel to see her. She doesn't need to go around the world. I think everyone would go to her. Maybe she could do residencies in certain places, like kind of like Harry Styles is doing. He's doing 30 nights at Madison Square Garden and then other residencies around the world.
Do you think she would ever do the Sphere? Have you seen anything at the Sphere?
I have not. I really want to go because it looks cool. I remember there were rumors swirling about Taylor doing a residency at the Sphere.
But I almost feel like that would be too over the top. Like people would lose their shit. I
mean, people would lose their shit. Tickets would be so expensive.
So expensive.
I don't know what the capacity of the Sphere is. Do you?
Yeah. I don't know what the capacity is. I should know because I was just there. And it's not as big as you think. I mean, it's big, but it's half of us, you know, it doesn't seem as big, but what they do inside of it is so incredible. And her show is already incredible. She doesn't need that, right? She doesn't need all that extra stuff, but it would be amazing. And I really hope she does do it. Yeah. Let's talk about, first of all, this morning I saw that. So now she has 14 Grammys, right?
Yes.
Something like that. She didn't get a nomination for the Grammys. It said due to her release date. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. She will be nominated next year, probably a lot.
Got it. So it's not a snub. And then there was like rumors of whether or not she'd perform. And then people are saying probably not.
I knew she wasn't going to attend. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. But do you think there's a reason for that?
I just think she's not up for any awards. Like I think she wants to stay kind of on the DL right now. And next year she'll probably come back.
Do you think Swifties care about awards anymore? Like, or moments like the Eras Tour feel bigger than trophies that she could get?
That's a really good question. I think we are, you know, not to sound snotty, but I think we are above awards now. We kind of decide what deserves awards. And if she gets snubbed, she gets snubbed. If you think about it, they can't give her album of the year every single time. They just can't. She's already, I think, she's the number one with the most album of the year Grammys. They can't just give it to her every time. But does she deserve it every time? Probably. I mean, she makes the best albums.
She does feel like she's playing a longer game now, like focused more on history than on like the charts.
Yeah. And look, the Songwriters Hall of Fame, she's getting inducted this year. I think she's big time legacy building right now.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's talk about this for 1 second. Is there fatigue in the fandom at all when Taylor's personal relationships or any sort of issues get pulled into unrelated controversy, do you think?
I mean, unrelated. I don't think there's ever Taylor Swift fatigue in the fandom. I think we would love if she could be on all the time and we could see her every day and there could be albums coming out 5 times a year. We would never get tired. I think we get tired when she's not around.
Got it. So that's interesting because it was like she had such a big year and then everyone was talking about if they could go to the Eras Tour or not and what the Eras Tour is like for them. And there's not that much talk yet because there's not much to talk about at the moment besides the stupid shit with Blake. And so it's interesting. I feel like fans just are more protective than anything and just protecting her legacy, which is who she is and what she's built. And that seems really cool.
Yeah, 100%.
What do you think people outside the fandom misunderstand most about the Swifties?
I think people think the Swifties are a cult-like group of crazy, obsessive, annoying fangirls. That's what I think people think of us. And they couldn't be more wrong. If they just decided to open their minds a little bit and get a taste of what it's like to be in the fandom, then they would see that... Okay, maybe we are a little cult-like, but in the best, most positive cult ever. And we're just a group of very kind people. You know, you go to an Eras Tour concert or any Taylor concert or Taylor event, and everyone will talk to you as if they've known you forever. It's incredibly bonding. Everyone is just so nice and open-minded. And there's no more joyful community in the world, in my opinion. I don't think there's a nicer, more joyful group of people that exists. And yeah, we're passionate. We're passionate about music. One thing about Swifties is yes, they love Taylor, but we love all music. And, you know, the ones going to see Taylor are also the ones going to see Gracie Abrams and Sabrina Carpenter and Chappell Roan and everybody else. We're passionate about music, and Taylor just happens to be our favorite.
Got it. Love that answer. If Taylor herself was listening, what do you think Swifties would want her to know most in this moment?
I think, that's a good question. I think Swifties would probably just want to all collectively say thank you. Thank you for being yourself and never listening to the outside noise and letting them change who she is and for giving us, you know, free therapy because that's what her albums are. That, you know, you have a bad day, you put the Tortured Poets Department on, and you're like, okay, I feel seen. Or you're having a great day and you're in love, you put the Life of a Showgirl on and you're like, oh, I feel seen. So yeah, I guess thank you for giving us music to turn to in every season of life.
Wow. That's a really cute answer. Do you feel like you as a person have changed, or like you see what things in her and it makes you grow as a person? Is it getting lessons from like a big sister?
Oh my God. Absolutely. And there's actually a chapter in my book about that.
Oh
yeah. It's the lessons we've learned from her. So yeah, I think the way she moves through life and when she goes through hardships, she doesn't let it bring her down. Her version of revenge is success. You know, she never stoops to people's level. She's never a mean girl. Right. Her version of revenge is like, okay, fine, I'll use that. How can I use this to make myself better and go higher than you, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we've learned so much from her and her ability to stay vulnerable, even though she knows everybody in the world's going to have something to say about a certain lyric. She still puts it in there because that's who she is. And she wants us to feel seen. I don't think she cares about the rest.
Got it. Okay. Finally, what's making Swifties excited about the future, even with all this extra noise? Like, what is there to look forward to?
I think we're all looking forward to her fairy tale ending, her wedding, which hopefully will happen this summer, this year. So, you know, we've been on this journey with her since the beginning. So for her to have her fairy tale ending, we're like, oh, it's possible. And if anyone deserved it, it was her writing all those songs and getting burned by all these men. So I think we're super excited for that. And like her mom said in the documentary, she's like, I hope you guys know that Taylor will come back, but she gave you her all and she needs some time. And I think we're all very respectful of that. We're like, okay, she can take all the time she needs, go have her fairy tale, beautiful wedding. And hopefully we get some videos and pictures from that. And we can feel like we were there. And then we're looking forward to the next album and next tour, whenever that is, hopefully in the next couple of years.
And what's next for you beyond this Swifties for Eternity account?
Yeah, I mean, my book comes out in April. So, you know, I'm probably going to do a lot of podcasts and a lot of traveling and some book events. I'll do a book tour. So I'm excited for that. And I always have stuff going on the outside that I just don't talk about online. But I'm involved in certain ventures and seeing what we could do, but it's all related back to music, the music industry and fans and making the fan experience better. So I'm going to keep doing that. And, you know, eventually when things launch, I'll probably share more stuff online about it. But for now, I'm just quietly moving along.
Did you like writing the book? Do you think there's another book in you if it does well?
I love writing. I've always been a writer at heart. So absolutely, I would love to write another book. Not even about, you know, Taylor Swift or Swifties, just about life, wisdom. I don't know. I guess I'll see what happens to me in the next 5 years. Maybe life will give me even more stuff to write about in my early 30s.
Amazing. Well, I think the book is going to be amazing. Every Swiftie is going to buy it. I'm clearly going to buy it for my daughter and all her friends probably. So tell people where they can get it, when it's out, if they can get a pre-copy, whatever.
Yes. So you can pre-order anywhere you get your books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, literally wherever you get your books. It comes out April 14th. And you can, if you pre-order now, it ensures that you get the vintage sprayed edges on the pages, because that is only for the first printing. And
amazing. So if you pre-order, you just don't get it now, but you're part of it when it comes
right.
out.
Exactly. You get it when it comes out. I'm also doing an audiobook. So if people like to listen to the book, then they can listen to it as if it's a podcast. And yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear if Taylor reaches out and, you know, reads the book and what she says about it. And I'm sure that she will be interviewed. Here's my prediction. Somebody's going to interview her about something and someone will raise their hand and say, have you read the book, The Story of Us? That's what it's called, right?
Yes.
And what are your thoughts on it about your fans and about this girl, Olivia? So that's my prediction that there will be a soundbite of that.
I hope she reads it. I mean, I want her to have it on her bookshelf. And, you know, Donna Kelsey follows me on Instagram, so hopefully she'll read it too. And maybe Travis will read it. That's the big goal. I mean, I want Swifties to all, you know, we can reminisce, and I want Taylor to look back and be so proud of like the community she created.
What's the target age range for that book?
I don't think there is one. I mean, truly, if you when you think about it, Swifties are 5 and they're 80 and they're everything in between. So for people who want to learn more about the fandom and why it is what it is now, and then for the Swifties who were there back then, who want to be like, oh my God, I forgot about that. That was such a great time. And then Taylor, when she reads it, she'll be like, oh my God, I remember those little moments. And when she showed up at people's weddings, all the inside jokes, all the lore, if people just want to educate themselves. So there is no age for it. It could be, you know, 95-year-old. It's like, I want to understand the Taylor Swift fandom. Let me pick up this book.
I love it. So I'm really proud of you. I hope you do such great things in the future. I can't wait to read the book, and hopefully you'll come on again when you do your book tour so we can hear all about that.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. It's such a fun chat.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.